Hallelujah, praising our Savior all the day long. Welcome to the Kingdom Work for Christ online radio show. Let's start out the right way. Let's bow our heads, humble our hearts, and turn them towards the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Lord God, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for your presence here on earth through those who choose to believe and choose to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that in the environments where you are teaching us and leading us to teach, leading us to educate, leading us to be your hands and feet, God, I just pray that we will seize those moments and do it unapologetically and do it with boldness, God, and humility that comes all from you. Father, thank you for stirring hearts. Thank you for forgiving sins. Thank you for the relentless pursuit that you have for us. You are amazing, my Lord, my Savior, my everything. In your holy name we pray, amen. Welcome to the Kingdom Work for Christ online radio show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Emma Bordergama. And today we have on the line a very special person that was with us last time. And so if you have not heard her yet, you are up for a treat. Anna, how are you?
I'm doing great, Emma.
Oh, I am so glad to be fellowshipping with you and serving God in this way today.
Likewise.
Amen. Well, we started an interesting environment, actually. And Anna, I just want to let you guys know, Anna is actively involved in as a mother, as a wife, in technology, in volunteering, as a minister for Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. So Anna, in all of what I just said, there isn't a professional active teaching career per se. And that's super important because those of you tuning in and you're like, I'm not a teacher, I don't have a desire to teach, or thinking, you know, this is just not my gifting. This is not a show just for the person who is in a professional educator, right? This is a show for every single one of us because it's really off of the Great Commission of Matthew 28:18-20. So if you're tuning in for the first time and you're wondering, well, here's the deal. What is Kingdom Work for Christ? Let me break it down for you. Kingdom Work for Christ is the combined manifestation and implementation of God's will through a person's life. And that is all based on Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's where Jesus, after dying, resurrecting in order to cleanse our sins and give us one way to eternity. He, before going back to the Father, left a beautiful set of instructions, and it really is fivefold. First thing he said, know that all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. The second thing he said is, go, therefore, and make disciples of nations. Third, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. No, it's not just the Father. No, it's not just Jesus. No, it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, three in one. And four, teach them to obey my commandments. Five, know that I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so we take this fivefold commission and we pray, two, go to the Word of God, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and only through the leading of the Holy Spirit, then we can be infectious in all of the environments that we're currently placed in for the sake of Jesus' name. On this show, we have covered different environments. We've talked about gossip. What does it mean to do kingdom work for Christ in the middle of gossip? We've talked about chronic illness. What does that mean? What does it mean to do kingdom work for Christ when you're resting? Really, resting, Emma, means kingdom work for Christ? What does it mean to do kingdom work for Christ when you've had an abortion? When you have adopted? When your family is just falling apart? When you're being restored, when you're unemployed. There have been multiple topics that we've covered on the show. And so today, we are continuing to explore what kingdom work for Christ is within the context of teaching and education, both outside the classroom and inside the classroom, both in private education and in public education. We're really going to delve deep into that. The structure of this show is such that 1 week we will talk about what the Bible says about that particular environment, and the next week we will talk about how it's happening today or how the body of Christ has missed the opportunity to do kingdom work for Christ. This show is authentic and it's real, and so we do get accounts of people who have not followed God's will, myself included in that, and then what happened when they did follow God's will. And so I'm just so grateful for Anna, because Anna started telling us about her story, about how she started this with a group of parents. They started this amazing private school because the private school they were in was shutting down. And no, not under the leading of a particular church body or administration, but under the leading of the Holy Spirit, who had placed on one of the parents' hearts to start this school. And parents got together, and guess what, you guys? They realized in that moment that every single part that was needed, you name it, lawyers, teachers, people who were going to be administrators, whatever it was, God had already placed them in the group of parents who started the school. And so we were starting to delve into, okay, what was the journey that Anna has been undergoing with Jesus, so that she's at a place where she can talk about this phenomenal work he's been doing in her life. So, Anna, I'm going to stop talking, and I just want to hear from you. What are you up to these days?
What am I up to? Well, I'm working on a lot of house projects right now. Doing a lot of restoration at home.
I love it. So are you working with a team of people? Are you what exactly are you doing?
Actually, I enjoy doing work around the house. And this morning, I actually was up early, bright and early this morning before it got hot. And I was out painting the railings outside of my house. So I just am doing little projects, just home improvements, you know. Being a homeowner, there's always things to do around the house, but I really enjoy it. And actually, because I got out there so early, I really had some time alone. It was 6 in the morning. No one was out, and I was out there painting, and I had time to be with the Lord. And, you know, I
Amen.
Do that a lot. I just, whether it's yard work or doing things indoors, you know, it's something I enjoy, and it's quiet time. And I take advantage of those times, and you know, I just, you know, I share with, you know, I just talk to God. And this morning I was actually out there talking out loud. I was thinking, oh man, I hope nobody walks by. They're going to think I'm just this crazy woman talking to myself. But it is, it's just, you know, it's quality time, uninterrupted time. You're just by yourself.
Wow. So where did you get the skill set to do that? I mean, have you learned that through someone, or that's pretty fascinating. I can't fix a light bulb for the life of me. So I'm really impressed.
Well, I got to tell you, that's where YouTube comes in. I have definitely done little things that I wasn't sure about, and I go on YouTube, and I remember we had just replaced a garbage disposal, and I did not do that work, but the little switch that turns on the garbage disposal, I had a dual switch, one that turned on the garbage disposal and one that turned on the light, and it was sticky, so I needed to get just a new switch. And rewire it. So I went to the hardware store and I picked it up, and I went on YouTube and just, you know, listened. You know, you can look up anything on YouTube and then just kind of listen to it. And then as I took everything apart, I just really, I made sure that I paid attention, right, with all the wires.
Right.
You know, the red wire and the black wire. And so I just put everything back together, and I had, obviously, I turned off all the electric in the house. I went to the main switch and turned all the power off. Smart enough to do that. And then, and so then when I turned it back on, I remember my husband stood back. And he's like, all right, you sure you wired everything right? And I said, no, I did. I feel 99% confident. And he stood back and I turned it on, and it worked. And so I just, you know, a lot of it is just, I guess I'm just pretty bold in doing little things. I've done shower heads and shower arms and replaced, toilets and, whatever needs to be done. I like taking it on. Obviously, when I get over my head, though, I know when to call a professional, so I'm not hesitant to seek out help. That's for sure.
Exactly. That's the key wisdom right there, you know, knowing when to stop. I got to tell you a funny story as you're saying that. So I really can't bake for the life of me, right? And the the biggest evidence was when we had a Spanish teacher who was phenomenal when I was in AP Spanish in high school. And what she used to do is to have us over to her house. And just in a natural environment, we would practice Spanish, right? And just love her to pieces. To this day, we're still friends. And so she, Maria gave me one task, and she said, Emma, you just got to do brownies. And I said, I think I can handle brownies. You know, the directions in the back, whatever. And I got to the directions about the oil and the water. Now, keep in mind, I'd never done brownies before. So I'm like, there's no way there's this little water in brownies. I don't believe it. I think the instructions are reversed. And I ended up taking literally the amount of oil you're supposed to put and put water instead in that amount. So needless to say, the brownie mix was this soupy, disgusting thing. We had to put flour in it. I mean, it was just crazy. And the whole time I kept thinking to myself, it didn't make sense, so I just rearrange it, you know. But to this day, I'm like literally banned from, you know, baking anything. But it kind of reminded me as you're talking, because I think that the critical thing is you see the directions and you actually follow them and you trust that they are correct, even if they don't make much sense, you know. And it's So I think there's a lot of wisdom that's applied in your day-to-day. So let me ask
you this. You know, it makes me think, though. Think about this. So you're following these directions, and then you decide, nah, they're not right. But isn't that what we, as people, do sometimes with God? We know what God says. We know what His Word says. But we have a choice. And sometimes we're like, you know what? I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to do this. Thinking we can do it better.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah.
It doesn't turn out. You know, so when you were telling me that brownie story, I was thinking about that. Like, that is how we are with God in our journey, right?
Yeah.
And just it's so easy to get off track, you know, or to try to do things our way, or to question, right? Or
Amen.
We don't hear an answer to a prayer, and we're waiting,
right.
And we're waiting, and we don't wait patiently, and we go and we move forward without hearing God's word or His voice. And what happens, you know? So it's interesting.
And, you know, so as you bring that up too, it actually ended up taking so much longer to fix it too, you know? And I love the analogy you just brought up, Anna, because it did. It took us about the same amount of time that it would have taken to make the brownies in addition to the flour and make it into something, and it didn't end up being brownie like, it was just cake like, you know. So it was a subpar result to what it could have been in the first place had I just trusted. So that is just such a beautiful analogy. I love it. So
yeah, I have
speaking
to remember
of
the whole brownie story now. It's a good analogy. It is. I just thought of that when you were talking about it, and just how we are, you know. We're just children, you know. We don't
That's
like to correct, listen sometimes.
Right. For some of us, most times.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: with your with the house being a work in progress, you know, have you? Because you really are using this time to talk to God and to, you know, to be in fellowship with Him. Has it been a reminder of just how far He's gotten you, you know, to this point? And, you know, why so much emphasis on the house?
There's a story behind this house, Emma. You know, first of all, this house isn't my house. It's God's house. It is definitely God's house, and I have to be a good steward to what God gave me. And part of being a good steward is taking care of it. But when I bought this house in 2002, and we were living in Herndon and sold our house, and we were looking for a house closer to the Fairfax, you know, Falls Church area. We looked and we looked and we looked, and you know, I think the realtor was just like, come on. And we found this house tucked away in this little neighborhood in Fairfax. I didn't even know the neighborhood existed. And it was very close to central shopping, the highways. It was a great location. But what was so cool about coming into this house after looking at so many, I walked in, and it was just this peace that I felt. And I went upstairs. I remember going through all the rooms, and I was by myself, and I walked upstairs, and I walked into the master bedroom. And I really felt the presence of the Lord. Like, I felt like He said, this is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came down the stairs, my realtor looked up at me when I was coming down the stairs, and she's like, uh-oh, she's got that look. And I said, this is the house. This is the house that the Lord wants me in. You know, Emma, there's such a story behind me. That's the beginning, but this is God's house. He's kept me in this house. And through so many things that I had been through, it is by His provision that I have been able to stay in this home. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm grateful, Emma, because I don't take for granted, you know, what He's given me, that He's blessed me with. And anything really that He's given us, whether it's my job or a home, you know, even the money that I get every pay period, that's God's money. It's not mine, you know. And I have to, I mean, many times I had, you know, I get my paycheck, and I know, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? What am I supposed to do with this? And, you've got to be responsible, and you've got to be a good steward to what He's given you. And I feel like, you know, He has shown me that through the years, and He's just been amazing. And so that's why I guess I enjoyed, you know, just doing stuff in the house, because it is His house.
Yeah.
And I find time alone with Him, and I talk to Him about whatever's going on in my life, you know? It's fun. It's enjoyable.
Absolutely.
I like to garden too. I love being out in the garden and planting. But I'll be honest, it's hard. You know, it is hard to do things, you know. Life can get consuming, you know, with work. And, you know, I no longer have, you know, the kids at home, but you still have other things to do. There's always other demands in life. But when you find that moment and you have some spare time, you know, take advantage of it and, you know, just keep up with it.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things you talked about is that you had you felt like God was providing and was guiding through this house. Was there a critical moment that you can describe where you really felt the hand of God protecting this house for you, you know, and really preserving it for you?
Yes, most definitely. So it was actually that same year in 2006 that we talked about previously when we launched the school. In that same year, I had separated for the third time with my husband, and it was our final separation. And so we had he pretty much, you know, wanted me to sell the house. That was hard because this was the house the kids were, you know, raised in most of their life.
I
didn't think that was quite right, you know, but I put the house up for sale. It was in April of 2006. And I remember that month after I had put the house up, we got it all ready. You know, you've got to keep this house completely clean, especially because you've got people coming in and looking at the house and everything's got to be perfect.
Right.
That's stressful, you know. And I remember we got everything together. It was ready to go. They staged it, and my realtor brought somebody in. And, you know, I had to take down pictures and move furniture and things like that. And then I left. I went to Europe, actually, with my dad on a trip. It was a father and daughter trip. And then yes, it was a blessing. I hadn't been back to Europe since I was a kid. That's a whole other story, but. Anyway, I came back, and for a year, Emma, the house stayed on the market. So we had a lot of people. I didn't want to move, and I asked the Lord to keep us in this house. I did not want to move. I felt this was the house that God gave me. This was in 2002, and so I had put out a petition to all my friends. You got to pray that the house doesn't sell. And people were praying.
Wait a minute. So your husband is at the time is saying, I want to sell the house. You're saying, I want to stay in the house. You engage prayer warriors to pray that the house will not sell, but the house is on the market. It's got this on, you know, the for sale sign and everything. Is that?
Yes.
Am I painting the right picture?
And he wasn't here anymore. So he actually was gone. He left. He wasn't living in the house. He had moved out in April of 2006. And so the kids and I stayed in the house. And
sorry to hear that.
The house was actually, you know, I had purchased the house. It was in, you know, my name, and he was not on the house, but we were still married. So legally, he still has rights to the house. Okay, so I'll just kind of say that. All right, so he wanted to. So I didn't, like I said, I didn't want to sell the house. So we prayed about it. And I remember my kids were just, it was stressful, Emma. It was really stressful just getting ready to go to school in the morning. We had to put everything away, you know, put all the clothes away, make the beds. You know, it was really stressful.
Right.
And the kids really loved this house. And I remember my son, he was just not happy. He was so sad. He didn't want to leave. He had friends. We'd been here. You know, we were established at school. And so it was a difficult time for us. And the neatest thing was we had so many people coming to this house. There was so much traffic. And people said it was a beautiful home. And I even at one point lowered the price of the home to sell it, but yet it didn't sell. And there were other houses in the neighborhood. mm-hmm. for sale as well. And I have a townhome, and it's an N unit, so I have extra bump outs. It's a big, it's one of the only
four
units in
yeah.
this neighborhood. A little bit different than most of the townhomes here, and plus I overlook a pond. So it has a great
right.
view, you know, so there wasn't anything wrong with the house. But I'm telling you, that's where God was there, and he heard these prayers. And
hallelujah.
We
wow.
never got anybody to put a bid on it, which that's amazing.
For an entire year.
Yes. And you're talking Fairfax County in a very good neighborhood down the road from which is now Fairfax Corners. I mean, it's a, you know, it's
a
great
property.
Oh, it's
a risky place.
And so
it's a very good place.
Yeah, and tell me that isn't God, Emma. Really? Like, nobody put a bid down, and we even lowered the price. So I'll never forget the day. I will never forget the day when I came home, and it had been a year. And so we were in the midst of settling. And so I told the realtor, we want to take the house off the market. And when my son was walking home from school, and he saw that sign was gone, the joy on his face, I could just see it. He was grinning from ear to ear. And
wow.
I'm like, guys, we're staying. We are staying.
Wow.
The Lord has answered our prayer. We're staying. God is good. And it was just amazing. And remember that in that story that I was telling you and last time we met, I talked about how in my job, I had received a substantial raise. So not only did I stay
wow.
in the house, but I also financially could stay in the house. I was in a position.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then, yeah, and so many things. And I and my jobs, I changed jobs. I was in a good paying job. I mean, things just started to just one by one. Things just worked out. That was all God. You know,
yes.
And so
yes.
we finally settled, and I did have to settle with him, but I have to be honest, the settlement that I had to give him, that was even God. You know, it wasn't anything. It was, you know, did it hurt me? Yeah, it hurt financially, but you know what? I still stayed, and God provided, and it's been 10 years since that time.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 years. And I've been able to keep the house. And it's not me, Emma. I didn't stay in this
no.
house. God was the one that kept me in this house. And that is a story my kids know. And that is a story that I remind them of, you know, that
yeah.
you remember the Lord provides and he takes care of
That's
us.
Right.
And they know that story because they saw those things happen. The school, staying in the house, all those things just, it was all,
yeah.
it
yeah.
just all rolled out. Isn't that cool? I mean, I just
I love
the Lord.
I love
sharing
it.
That. You know?
Thank you,
I
Jesus.
Get so excited.
And you know what's so cool? I just, go ahead. I'm getting
you know,
excited.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I just, Emma, I've told you this a million times, and this is so wonderful to be able to kind of go back and think about and reflect.
Yeah.
I think that is so important to even sometimes write
Amen.
Those things down, you know, answered prayer and what God has done. Because when you go
yes.
back and you reflect on it, oh, it's
mm.
so powerful. And you want to go
yes.
out and tell everybody, right?
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I want to go get on the rooftop and say, we got a great God. He's a good
Amen.
God. And he'll take care of
Amen.
You. And, you know, people see that, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And can I put a side note to that? How long have you been journeying with Jesus?
So I became a Christian in 1984.
Been,
and then I was baptized in 85.
So it's been 22 years since you've been a believer. Am I doing my math right or 32? 32 years since you've been a believer, right? And
mm-hmm.
you are in love with Jesus today, so much so that we are like squealing almost, which is exciting. So here's the thing, and I want to bring that up. I want to bring that up for the people listening because this is important. I've heard too many times, way too many times, oh, I saw, you know, I met a new Christian and they're on fire for Jesus, and it reminded me of how, you know, how I used to be when I first, you know, accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's like there is this defeatist rhetoric when it comes to our passion about Jesus. And honestly, if we get on our knees and we actually fellowship with God and enjoy His intimacy, we should be getting more and more and more excited about the Lord, right? And so I just want to encourage us today, because this is not, it doesn't fade away, folks. It really doesn't. It gets more exciting. It gets more passionate. It gets more thrilling to be able to see not just us and how He's working in our lives, but then to see other people come to Christ and fall more in love with Him and experience the incredible way in which He's active. I really wanted to point that out today, because you're on your fourth almost decade of being in love with Jesus, and it's getting better, isn't it, Anna?
You know, it's funny that you said that, Emma, because so I'm not, when I became a Christian, you know, there are some people that have this powerful transformation where they come to the Lord, right? Maybe something's going on in their life. Maybe they're dealing with an addiction. Maybe they're dealing with a difficult marriage. Maybe they're dealing with a health issue. And, you know, then they come to find the Lord, and they're excited, and they're out there, and they're on fire for the Lord. You know, I didn't have that experience, Emma. In 1984, when I accepted the Lord, yes, I was hungry. I knew that there was a God, and I shared that earlier, you know, where my in-laws were the ones that knew the Lord, and I it was more, it wasn't this huge transformation for me. It was more, there's a God. I want to know about Him. I know there's a God, and it was more learning. And so through that, in the beginning of my walk, it was, I was going to church, I was reading, and it wasn't always, you know, where I stayed on track, but I wasn't on fire until later on in life. And it still continues. Like, to this day, it's like that fire pit, you know, like when it starts burning. It's the roaring. That's the way I feel right now, right? Like, I'm at this new place with my journey, and I'm like, wow, I wasn't like this in 1985. I wasn't wanting to get up on the rooftops and tell, you know, talk about God. I didn't have that transformation. It was through my journey and these 20-something years with the Lord that I've been able to just grow and fall in love with Him. And I think that's a little bit different than some people. But it's
awesome. Totally right. Absolutely. You're totally right. And, you know, the thing about it is it's not time. It's the how, right? It's the how are we going before the throne? How are we seeking more of Jesus? How are we actively putting ourselves in situations where we can, you know, one, learn more about Him, not just through prayer and the Word, but also through His body, right? And that's the thing that's so critical here. I see that in their testimony that you've shared, it really started, that fire started to grow and grow and grow the more you could not only see how He was working in your life, but you could also see how He was, you know, working in other people's lives and through the school and even the house and being in community. So it's such a good point that you brought up, and I'm glad you did, because there are different ways that people start out their faith journey. But it really is supposed to be an upward trend. It really is. The more we fall in love with Jesus, the more we are actively, and sometimes we have to intensify our efforts, but actively pursuing Him, we really, really, really should be falling more and more and more in love with Him. And if we're not, then there is a reassessment and a reevaluation before the throne that is necessary in our lives. You know, so I just love your testimony. I feel like it gives a lot of encouragement for us as a body, you know.
Amen.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is that we're talking about Christ-centered teaching and education, and I find it so powerful that your in-laws were really the ones who stood by and taught you, both through their actions and through their words, in such a way that you were able to see what it was to witness Christ-centered living in addition to Christ-centered teaching. And that teaching demonstrated you, but also it seems like they allowed you the space and time for you to apply that in your life. And you know, one of the biblical insights that we really came, we had four that we addressed on the show on biblical insights when it comes to teaching and education. And one of them was Christ-centered teaching is supposed to start with Christ-centered living in the first place. The second one, Christ-centered teaching demonstrates and allows the space and the time for application. The third one, Christ-centered teaching equips people to become God-dependent, not codependent or independent. And then Christ-centered teaching starts with a servant heart and a desire to serve Christ, then as a byproduct, others. And the thing that you touched on, the story that God has entrusted you with to share, your testimony, right, really speaks to that point three of equipping people to become God-dependent, not codependent or independent, because there was something in the process and the journey that God had taken you through that made you go to your prayer warriors when your house was about to be lost, instead of going to, you know, maybe financing offices or maybe other realtors or maybe try to find another place in another area that was more affordable or whatever. You didn't panic with what was in front of you. You had seen what it was to get on your knees and to get results. And so you went to prayer, you know, and prayer works. And so I'm just really, I want to bring back those points and really tie it into the teaching and the education, because we never know who we are impacting in such a way that it's going to apply to their lives way further down the road. We have no idea. So if we don't take that teaching opportunity, or if we don't take that educating opportunity to really be the hands and feet, the mouth of Christ, we don't know how that's going to impact their future decades down the line. That's the cost. That's the price. So
Amen.
I just wanted to get, you know, some of your thoughts on that as well, and how you today are then applying that, you know, being a kingdom worker for Christ. What does that look like today?
Well, I mean, you know, I want to go back to something that you said about family and impact.
Please.
And, you know, walking, you know, my family, my parents were Catholic, but we didn't go to church. We weren't practicing Catholics. And so my parents have been watching me on this journey that I've been on. And, you know, to this day, my dad knows, you know, how I do not hide how much I love the Lord. And my family knows that.
Amen.
I've been faithful to the Lord. And, my mom has even like started praying, but what I wanted to say was my dad watched me through that.
So good.
And I never went to my dad and asked him to help me for financially. And he says to me, "I don't know how you ever did it, Anna." And I said, "Dad, it wasn't me. It was God." And he sees that. And then my brother,
Amen.
Who has done very well for himself, he saw me struggle. And I remember one particular day when, you know, I had changed jobs and I left one company and I got out of telecom for about a year. And then I got back in a software side of the business. So I do telecom expense management, but we have a software. And so before that happened, I remember my brother would say, "You really just need to get another job." And I'm like, "No, I'm going to trust God in this. And I know he's going to take care of me." And he just kind of looked at me like, whatever, you know, like he's been successful
right.
through his own, you know, career and all. And then he watched me and I came back to him and I told him, you know, that I had gotten another job and he's watched me through this journey. A year later, I'll never forget, he came back to me and he said, "Wow, maybe I need to try this God thing." So the impact.
I love it.
That's the thing. It's the impact, right? That,
amen.
You know, that you, and that's in everything, Emma, even at work. Okay, so here's a story that another opportunity, right, for us to make an impact for Christ's kingdom. Whether you're at work, whether you're in a grocery store, there's a story where I started working for this company, and our CEO was a Christian, and our CTO was a Christian. It was a small family-owned business. How great is that?
Amen.
I'm working for Christians.
That's very,
you know,
rare. Yeah.
Well, God put me in that place, and I've been there since 11 years with the same company.
Mm-hmm.
We merged with a much larger company, but I was with this company from, I guess it was 2005 I got that job. And so in that, he and I talked many times about his journey, my CEO and I, but he actually allowed us to start a Bible study at work. And
thank
I'll never
Jesus.
Forget, he said, you can use the executive conference room during lunch hour. He couldn't talk about, you know, he knew that I was a Christian, but he couldn't really talk about it, right? I mean, there's certain things you just, you don't do at work, right? And him being a CEO. But I and some other people, there was three of us that started this Bible study. We were all very strong Christians. And there were a lot of people in our data entry department, single moms, unwed moms, with young babies, many struggles. And we started a Bible study. And we would come together for lunch. And there was so many people came, and they had questions. They never had heard about God. They didn't know anything about Jesus. They were there to learn. And we were there to answer questions, to pray with them. And there were so many that were saved. And that was first season, Emma, but it was an impact. So, how often do you hear that? And the funny thing, too, is through that, I've been in management, and people that I hired, I ended up finding out they were Christians. They were believers. We worked with so many, and I still have a friend today. We've been, and he and I have known each other for 11 years. And today, we still, every morning, we continued praying for our company, and every morning we would pray for the company, for the leadership, for our clients,
amen,
for our staff, and that we would, and they could see Christ in us. And we prayed that. And I remember telling my CEO that. I tell him, you know what, I'm praying for you. You know that, right? I'm praying for this company.
Amen.
And you know, the company did,
I love it.
Yeah. And the company did really well. We ended up getting, you know, bought out with, we merged with another company, and he's still there actually, which is great. And there's still a lot of Christians there, which is such a blessing. But, you know, not being afraid to talk even in the workplace. And Emma, I don't hold back. People know I know the Lord.
Yeah.
And when I go through difficult times, and I went through a difficult time with a manager, and through that, God kind of carried me through a difficult, I guess, relationship, if you will. And I maintained integrity at work. I was professional. This person did not judge me. She judged me, you know, wrong. She didn't know me. But through that, it was, I stayed focused, and I did. I had to ask God, you know, to change my heart and not to be angry or you know, I didn't want to have that towards her. But
yes,
in the end, you know, it all worked out, and she's not with the company. She's not in our group anymore. She's moved. God is good. But I remember somebody came to me, and they said, you know what, Anna, I watched you through that whole thing, because she took me out of a director position that I had been in, and she, you know, she, it was two teams that I had launched there, and I had grew, and I had hired, and wrote process and procedure, so it was my baby, I created it, and she took me out of that position, and it was hard, it was humbling, and I realized even through that, I was prideful, Emma, I mean, that was also a time where I was like, wow, I'm prideful. Yeah. And God had to work with me on that. You know, I had to look at myself. And but this gentleman came back to me. He's like, I watched you for a year, Anna. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know if you know the Lord, but it is the Lord that got me through this. And I am not afraid to start those conversations.
Amen.
And I often do, you know, because it wasn't me.
I love it.
It wasn't me.
I love it. And that's such a powerful testimony that, you know, I'm looking at from a third-party perspective, the way in which the body of Christ has really been activated in your workplace. Because your CEO, even if he's not speaking through words, he enabled the gathering of believers in Christ in that company. You know, and you being the mouthpiece of God and the people teaching being his hands and feet on the ground. And so that is so that's such a beautiful picture of what happens when we are in tune with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. And we just do it. Just do it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Lives are changed. People are transformed. And so that's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and people watch you, Emma. You know, and I'm not, you know, it's not easy being a Christian because people, I think, try to put you on this pedestal, right? And they kind of wait for you to make a mistake. But you know what?
Right.
I'm real. I'm authentic. And I say, look, you know what? I mean, I'm not perfect. Only Christ is perfect. I'm going to make mistakes.
Yep.
But I'm
yep.
the first to say,
absolutely.
You know, even like with my kids, right?
Yeah.
Was I a perfect mom? Absolutely not. Did I get angry? Did I lose my temper? Absolutely. But one thing I always said to my kids, you know what? That was the wrong attitude, guys. Mom was really, you know, angry. I didn't handle it right. And I need you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? And I taught them that. And, you know, I think you have to be authentic. You have to be real. And, you know, they see that, you know, that side, you know. And, I mean, I remember Lindsay would tell me, Mom, I wish sometimes I had that faith like you do, you know. And, you know, it's really important for, you know, just to really share that, you know. And be real about it. You know, because you're going to have ups and downs, Emma. I mean, believe me, I've had my ups and downs.
You're right.
My faith is shaken through my journeys, you know. But praise God, praise the Lord that today I feel I'm more in love with him today than I was, you know. I mean, I really came to know him more and more, you know, as the years have gone by, and it is the way that it should be, you know. It's that relationship, Emma. It's a relationship that you have.
Amen. Amen. So in what ways was your faith shaken? Can you explain to us what you mean by that?
I was married for almost 20 years. It was right before my 20th year, and it was a difficult marriage. It was filled with a lot of struggles from the very beginning. There was my husband suffered from he got hurt quite a bit, multiple knee surgeries, back issues, neck issues. Mm-hmm. He was in and out of disability through our marriage. It was difficult for him as a husband, as a leader, as somebody, you know, who's supposed to be providing. I'm sure that wreaked on his self-esteem. I mean, he had low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. He didn't feel good about himself. I was successful at work, traveling, you know, and providing for the family. And became, you know, he was an alcoholic. And there was substance abuse, verbal abuse. It was very difficult. You know, there were ups and downs through the marriage where he was, you know, I thought he had gotten better, and then, you know, he would go back, and then he'd get better, and so that was the turbulent years. And where my faith was shaken was in the very beginning of our journey. I mean, it was, you know, from the very beginning, you know, we were involved in a car accident. He had a football injury on his knee. We were mm-hmm. on our way to our
wow.
pastor's house to get in premarital counseling, got in a car accident. So that, what they had just repaired was re-injured again. So we had to go into surgery a week after our wedding. So that was like the beginning, right, of just this disability, mm-hmm. out of work, in work, out of work. And there was a time where, during that parting, it seemed like when I was, going to church and I was really in the Lord, we didn't get along. And it's that mm-hmm. it's that unequal, you're unequally yoked. And there were times he used to say to me, yeah, I feel like I'm coming home and, Jesus is sitting on the couch. And it wasn't that I was preaching God's word or, making him feel bad, but it was the presence of darkness and light. It was very evident in our marriage.
That's right.
But there was a time, Emma, where I wanted to stop that cycle, right? The arguing and the fighting. And I was young. I was still very early in my journey as a Christian. And what did I do?
Right.
Well, I joined them. I went out. I partied.
Mm.
I was with our friends. We'd go out on Friday and Saturday nights. We partied, and we got along. We got along great.
Right, right.
But then my heart, Emma, wasn't right. And so I turned and I walked away from that. I started seeing a lot happening to our friends, people going down the wrong path. It was scary.
Right.
And I remember making that turn, like, no, I can't do this. I'm not doing this anymore. And I walked away from that. And I remember many a nights praying for my husband. He wouldn't come home a lot of times. He'd be out, with his friends, and sometimes he wouldn't come home. And I remember one night on my hands and knees crying out to the Lord, praying for us. And there was a station on TV. It was an evangelical preacher, and he's asking, if there's anybody out there that needs prayer. So I called this prayer line, and I prayed to this person on the line. I mean, I was desperate, Emma. I was praying. We were in a... you talked about like codependent, God dependent. I was a codependent.
Right.
Okay. Mm. And because I was in this really, bad cycle, of alcoholism and, the verbal abuse and, all of that, all that that goes with it. But I remember praying and, it was hard. I mean, we went through, we separated in 2001. We got back together in 2002. That's when we bought this house, and then we separated again in 2004. We got back together again in 2005, and then finally divorced about, 5 months later. It was our final separation and divorce. And Emma, that was a hard thing. I mean, I tried, I tried to make it work. But there's a couple things that happened through that divorce. And divorce is, God hates divorce, but God is gracious. He's merciful. He loves us. He knows, where we are in life. God doesn't, he doesn't judge, Emma. Do you know what I mean? He just, I get really emotional because he's so gracious. He's so merciful. And it was really, really difficult for me to make a decision to divorce. I didn't believe in it. I remember going to pastors, asking for advice, is this what I should do? I was searching, and it was tough. And I remember the day came when I was going to court, and we had our court date, and I held his picture, and I said, God, I'm giving him back to you. I can't change him, but you can't, and I'm getting out of the way.
Wow.
You're young. You're trying to change somebody. You think you can make a difference, but, I finally just I couldn't do it anymore. And I turned him over to the Lord. And I remember in court, after we got divorced, he actually came over to me. And he was sobbing. He was sobbing. And he came over and he gave me a hug. And he, you know, he said, "I'll always love you." And that was hard, you know.
Wow.
But Emma, do you know what? It saved him. Making that decision, he has been sober. He was in bad shape, in very bad shape the last time we got back together, where, you know, he was not just drinking, but, you know, just there was substance abuse. And that was when I said,
wow,
I couldn't do this anymore. I had children. I didn't want my kids raised, you know, in a home like that. And
right.
He turned and he went and got help. And he's been sober since then. And after that whole journey, I ended up,
thank you, Jesus.
You know, yeah, I mean, God is good. But, you know, in that pain, Emma, I didn't want to play the victim role. I didn't want to feel sorry for myself. It was hard, believe me. It was a hard journey, but you know.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, and but God, I wanted to take the focus off of me, and through my healing, I was able to run a group of loved ones of addicts, and I ran a group for about 2 years, and it was Christ-centered 12-step program. Where other people struggled,
amen,
who were married to, you know, to people with addictions. And that healed me. And that was like the beginning of, even though I had known the Lord all those years, it wasn't until that time I really had that relationship. Like I was at church reading God's word, but I didn't really know Jesus until I met him right there. I met him face to face. And I fell in love with him. So
I love it. I love it. So did your husband end up coming to know Jesus as well? After the divorce?
You know, his parents were Christian. I mean, he was raised, you know, when he was a teenager, I think his can't remember how old he was really when his parents became a Christian, but he had a lot of head knowledge. So there's those folks that have the head knowledge, and then there's where it's in the heart, right? So it's that connection between the heart and the head. And he read the Bible inside and out. He knew scripture. He'd been around it. I don't know to this day where he is. I know that he... You know, I don't know if he's really attending church. I know he does, you know the Lord. I know he's been saved, you know, but I don't really know his journey, you know.
Okay.
But I know that he's, you know, no longer drinking and drugging, and that's the good thing. Praise God for that.
Praise God.
You know,
and
you want to hear a really cool story out of this, too? This is,
please, yes.
I just love this. I got to tell you this. Remember years that I said we partied with our friends? Tell me how good and how gracious our God is. Do you know that those friends that we partied with on Friday and Saturday nights, we got together on the weekends, they are all walking with the Lord today. They are Christians.
Hallelujah.
What a testimony.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah. They are Christians, and I'm not talking just, they are engaged in his kingdom. They are out there doing his work, not just going to church, doing his work, going out there, sharing. You know, it is amazing that he took all of us, and he transformed us, you know? And here we are, and I've lost touch with them, but I see them, you know, through... you know, Facebook and things like that. But God worked in every one of our lives, and he brought us all out. Now, isn't that I mean, God is good, isn't he?
So good.
He pursues
us. Good.
He pursues us. You know, he doesn't give up on us relentlessly. He never gives up on us.
He never gives up. And that's what I, you know, that's what I tell people. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you where you are today, and He will never give up. And if you stumble, you get back up.
Yes.
And you say, God, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You go back, and He'll pick you up. You know?
He really will.
It's like that.
He really
will. Yeah.
Wow, what a rich blessing. And all this, all of this within the context of just an incredible man and woman of God who sat down and were willing to have a conversation with you at one point in your life about who God was. You know, wow.
And
amazing.
Praise God that, you know, even though I divorced their son, I never divorced his parents, and we remained very close to this day. I talked to his mom, which I've known her since I was 15 years old because we were friends before we got married. So I talked to her pretty much weekly. We pray together on the phone.
I love it.
She's still a big part of my life. When I go through whatever I'm going through, I call her. She's been a spiritual parent to me. My father-in-law passed away a couple of years ago, and that was really difficult. It was sudden. It was very sudden. And he was, oh, man, talk about faith. This man had faith like you wouldn't believe. And he said he wanted to be a pastor. He said he always wanted to be a pastor. Do you know, before God took him home?
Yeah.
I say he was a pastor because when he got very sick and he died of cancer, when he was getting his chemo treatments and when he was going to that hospital, he talked to everybody he met about the Lord. Doctors,
Hallelujah.
Nurses, whoever it was, he shared the good news. He was powerful and talked, and just his faith, and people listened. And I often tell, my mother-in-law, I still call her my mother-in-law, but or mom, I should say, my second mom.
Right.
I tell her, you know what? Dad did become a pastor to the very end until God took him home. He preached the good news, and all the seeds. I don't know how many, if anybody was saved. It doesn't matter. He did his job to the very end. And wow, that's powerful. You know?
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
it is.
Testimony for me. I mean, both of them. And I'm blessed that she's still here and she's still a big part of my life.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's such a great note. And, you know, I love the fact that you are bringing home exactly why we're even talking about this today, which is that we have the ability to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit right now, no matter what our goals are in ministry or whatever. He's calling us to be His hands and feet. He's calling us to be, you know, His face to the world who doesn't know Him. And it's a beautiful thing to hear that's exactly what happened in your testimony. Anna, believe it or not, we are at the end of our hour. we're gonna have to work. It's amazing. And I want to just do a little recap for us because we are going to be visiting the more of public school environment in the next show. And so one of the things I really want to bring home is what we had talked about as it relates to kingdom work for Christ when it comes to teaching and education. So Christ-centered teaching starts with Christ-centered living. Please don't speak a word if you're not living it, because the world is seeing a lot of people who are hypocrites to what they're talking about when they talk about Christ. And I think a lot of times we blow our testimony and we blow the ability to really share the good news of the gospel when we can't back it up with living with integrity in Jesus. The second thing we talked about was Christ-centered teaching, which demonstrates and then allows the space and the time for application. Jesus did that brilliantly with his disciples. First of all, when he was assembling his team, he intentionally would talk to one and let them talk to someone else to bring them along. So he was teaching them all along how to make disciples of nations, right? How to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All these things were being taught all along so that when he gave a set of instructions in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, they weren't hearing it for the first time, nor were they seeing it for the first time. They'd had plenty of exposure. And what happened is that he taught them in such a way that he demonstrated, and then he allowed the space and the time for them to apply. The third thing that we talked about was that Christ-centered teaching equips people to become God-centered, not codependent, not independent, but God-dependent. They have hard times in their lives. They go before the throne of God in prayer. They have hard times in their lives. They go and seek for the spiritual remedy before the material remedies of the world. Then Christ-centered teaching starts with a servant heart, a heart to serve Christ, then as a byproduct to serve others. You know, sometimes we sort of get caught up in serving others, in being part of ministry, and being, you know, I want to have a calling, I want to have a mission, I want to have this, I want to have that. Where is serving Christ when it comes to that to-do list? Where is just hanging out with him and being in his presence? Because that ought to be first. When it is first, it really governs everything else. And everything else is governed properly. Anna, your testimony has been so powerful in bringing to light the fact that in our day-to-day, we can teach, we can educate as led by the Holy Spirit. We can do so using the tools of our actions, and we can do so using the tools of our words. And one of the powerful things that you really brought to light is the fact that your father-in-law just was a vessel for Christ where he was. He didn't need to have the title of pastor. God had given him the calling of pastor. You know, and that, and as a byproduct, you've been able to start Bible studies at work. Are you kidding me? You've been able to talk about the glory of the Lord in the midst of brokenness with your staff, with your peers, with your boss. You've been able to affect so many people, including myself, in just this passion and being in love with Jesus. And that is only because somewhere along the way, when Christ is leading you, when the Holy Spirit taps your heart, you've responded yes somewhere along the way. Have you said yes every single time? Probably not, right? But you're
definitely
learning more and more
yes.
to do so. Yeah.
Amen. Trusting him. Trusting him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Amen. So I would love for you, Anna, if you could give us any last comments you have and then pray us out. I would be very grateful, and I'm just so humbled. You are an inspiration. You're an encourager, and in many respects, your authenticity is infectious, Anna. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for letting me share. I guess the most important thing I want to say is just, you know, just it's a relationship. It's just wherever you are in life, it's, you know, having that relationship to the Lord and just trusting him. And, you know, I think it's really important in my journey, you know, that I learned is getting around those others that are strong in the faith, getting around other believers.
Amen.
And
yes.
just trusting God. You know, I just want to share this one verse, the one that really speaks to me. And that is in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we do,
yes.
we do have a purpose. There's more to life than a job and all of this. There's a purpose God's given us. And just live it, trust it, turn to the Lord, just, you know, seek him, and you'll find him wherever you are in life. And he will take
yes.
care of you. And, you know, that's just, he's just incredible. He's a great God.
Amen. That's wisdom. Amen.
Will you pray us out there now?
Yes. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are, Lord. You are the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, Father God. You continue to pursue us, Lord. You love us, Lord. You sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us, Father God. That is an ultimate, ultimate description of love, Father God. You love us so much, non-judgmentally, Lord. Your kingdom is mercy. It's grace, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, I just pray that we would just turn to you, especially in these times that we're in right now, Father God, that we would turn our eyes to you and seek you, Father God, wherever we are, Father God. Trust you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We love you, Lord. You are a great God, so worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, dear sister in Christ. You rock my world. Thank you.
He rocks my world.
Amen. Amen.
You do too.
Oh, have a
you
wonderful. Oh, it's all good. I don't have to, but you still rock my world. Of course, in him. Well,
Amen.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Every single week, I'm just excited to and humbled to serve you this way. For those of you who keep listening, thank you. For those of you who tuned in for the first time, thank you. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you have made it to this point, wow, and thank you. Know that he's pursuing you. Know that there's no coincidence when it comes to Christ. Know that he is just waiting for you to say yes. He created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he wants to navigate you through this thing called life and this thing called eternal life. You want to know more about Christ, please email us, contact@kingdomworkforchrist.com. We will pray with you. We'll answer questions. We will just listen if needed. But we really, really want to just encourage you that this is, like Anna said, relationship. It's not about trying to get you to do these, you know, five different things, and then you're going to get five different things for that. No, no, no. This is lifestyle. It's relationship. And it's relationship with the creator of the entire universe who cares enough about you and me that he died for us in order to give us a way into eternity. So with that in mind, have a wonderful and blessed week. It's an honor to serve you in this capacity. Bye-bye.